give you praise, we give you glory. Let your name be glorified again in our lives and in our midst tonight. Have your way. Father, we ask that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, and that we be quickened even by your Spirit to experience divine realities and be transformed even into the same. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you.
Your name is truly hallowed, Adonai. Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun.
Realities and import them to the earth realm. There is something it does to your spirit man. When you touch something that is not of earth, it reminds you of your nativity. Because before we came here, we existed somewhere. It took divine intelligence for our cognitive faculties to be shut down, so that we can find God in time. And so when men who have understanding of spiritual things are able to download those realities, your spirit man just comes alive. God bless Nathaniel Bassi. Ah, the moment I heard the song, I came alive. You know, there are some songs that you don't need to be gifted to sing. The song itself carries anointing, because of where it came from. Don't be natural. Tell somebody, to be natural is a plague. It's a plague. See, we wear suit and we feel good. Meanwhile, in the realm of reality, they are clothed with light. They don't need to change. You shower, you shave your beards, and you feel good. They are creatures that they glow from intensities to intensities. Naturality is a plague. It's a plague. Ah! Lihalo Aduna. Can you imagine? You can chant that stuff for a whole day and you are not tired. Because it's not about the many songs, it's the weight of witness. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, your name is truly hallowed. Oh, deserve him. Ask God to lift him up. Much skill. It didn't need to scale, and it came from a realm. It didn't need too many. No, it's good, but where it came from, it carries his witness. See, he doesn't need to be popular. Even if he was in a cave, if he released this song, the whole world will look for him. Don't kill yourself and do politics for platform. Platform, don't announce men. Get a witness. If you catch something from heaven, some of the things you will utter is when you leave earth that men will discover it. There are some things you will catch from the spirit. You will preach it. Your generation will not be mature enough to handle it. It's 20 years after you are gone, they will stumble. That's when the body of Christ will mature into it. Your lifetime, nobody may celebrate you. It is 50 years after you are gone that they will discover that a man walked on the earth. Such men, it's in the heavens that you see their glory.
That's right.
Because why they on earth? They live from Zion.
Hallelujah. They live from Zion.
Please sit down. May the Lord open our eyes to understand Christianity. You know, you hear some song, it shuts you down. Your activity, all your empty, you go to the place of prayer sometimes. Even your prayer is carnal. The song will shut your utterance down. And you will sing that song for 3 hours. When you are done, your spirit will be saturated. These are the true assets of the kingdom.
Thank you.
You know, I taught on intimacy on Sunday. The energy level was too much. We couldn't contain it. So God said, come and teach it now. He said, that one you did on Sunday, you pour the body. He said, teach it so that the people will know it and walk in it. So I want to teach on the seven realms of intimacy, part 2. I will give you scriptures to meditate on. I will show you things you need to do in order to gain relevance with God. The earth is a treacherous realm. Because this is a fallen realm. And because man is falling, many things can get his attention. And if you are not careful, things that travel earthward will catch your attention and you will run after them until you depart from earth. You now discover the ultimate journey is not earthward. That the ultimate journey is vertical, is Godward. And so while you are walking on the face of the earth, it's important that all you do, the bearing and the references of all you do on earth, should be drawn from the heights you have ascended to in the spirit. Because as you traverse the earth realm, you will discover there is a horizontal journey and there is a vertical journey. The horizontal journey is impact oriented. The vertical journey is intimacy oriented. And if your intimacy journey is not superior to your impact journey, a day will come, you will make impact, but God will not know it. And when you collide with God at the end of time, you will say, we rebuke, we cast out demons in your name. He will say, I know you not. You are a worker of iniquity. So the vertical journey, which is intimacy oriented, is superior to the horizontal journey. Impact is supposed to be a byproduct of intimacy. Impact in itself has no reference in the spirit except as it is released from the depth of your intimacy. That's why ministry itself is not an occupation. It's an overflow of your intimacy. You can read the Bible and become a Bible scholar and teach, but you are not in ministry. But when your intimacy with God overflows, you can use one scripture and arrest your generation. There are two different things. And so the value of a man is traced or traceable to the height where he does business. If you don't have any business vertically, everything you are doing on earth is a waste, because the design itself was framed around intimacy. in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9, God was speaking to the children of Israel, and he wanted them to understand that what they called life was not a man's business. That what they call life is actually a business between man and the immortal God. And he wanted man to understand that in this business, he's not the only person that needs to cash out. Because Israel perceived that God is a being that should be used to meet their needs. So he came to let them know that there was a wisdom upon which this system you live in was galvanized from. And that wisdom is intimacy oriented. So as you gain, I'm also supposed to gain. And when God told man what his own gain is in the equation, it now became obvious that man has nothing to offer God. The only thing man has to offer God is himself. Because he created man in his image. So what God wants to have is man. He wants to behold himself, live out through man. So when he was talking to the children of Israel, he said to them in Deuteronomy 32 verse 9, he said, the Lord's portion, my own portion in this equation, is man. And so every time man loses relationship with God, it means his existence is a waste to God. Because God's portion in your existence is you. And the way the system was also designed is such that man's ultimate reward are not the things God gives. Man's ultimate reward is God himself. So when God met Abraham, the first man that he actually entered into a covenant that was eternal with, he told Abraham in Genesis 15 verse 1, he said, I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Every other thing you are coming to me to get is important. But if you have not gotten me, you didn't exist. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. So man is God's reward and God is man's reward. So when you look at this equation carefully, you discover that what God wants to achieve is intimacy oriented. That at the end of time, when man's journey on earth is accomplished, it is the depth of intimacy he attains that will define his value in the realm of God. And so in John 17 verse 21, Jesus, when he wanted to leave earth, because man had failed on this enterprise for too long, so God had to wear man to come to earth to teach man what life was about. And so when Jesus lived this life and was about to leave the earth realm, he prayed a prayer in John 17 verse 21. And Jesus said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us. So the goal at the end of all things is that man and God will become a corporate persona. That was the idea behind the design. And until every one of us individually understands this, and it becomes the heaviest molecule of our pursuit on earth, our life would have been a waste, no matter what we accomplish. You know, the story of the rich fool was told in Luke 16. The man gathered all things that was needed, and he said, now my soul will rest. He didn't know that there was no rest outside God. Relaxation is not rest. Relaxation is a function of flesh, because the flesh is designed to be weak. So when the man relaxed, he thinks it's rest. And when God looked at him from heaven, he said, you fool. He said, today your soul will be demanded of you. Who told you you can find rest outside of me? Your rest is not in your bank. Your rest is not in your bank account. It is when you find me that you find rest. But the man had no understanding. And the reason God is so interested in intimacy is because everything God wants to create on earth can only be born out of intimacy. Because if you are doing anything that is not a product of the intercourse between you and God, in the realm of God, that thing is a bastard. God cannot work with it. You can call it Jesus' eternal ministry, or you can even call it encounter Jesus' ministry. If it is not born out of your intercourse with the Holy Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, is a bastard. Because everything the signature of God can rest on must be born out of intimacy with God, including your job, including where you are living. So you are not permitted to be creative. In this realm, creativity is shut out. You are supposed to find God, and every department of your life God will crystallize that which was written concerning you before the foundation of the world. If you begin to live like that, then the things that you do becomes the offspring of your intercourse with God. You know, marriage is a revelation of God's eternal plan that is possible for two to become one. And when two become one, a hybrid will come out of it that will neither be the woman or the man. The same way when they come to your ministry and you are talking, it looks as if it's because you are intelligent. They will say, this man is intelligent. But while you are yet talking, something that is superior to intelligence will begin to happen. Because you will be talking intelligently and the blind eyes will open.
Hallelujah.
They will now say, no, intelligence does not open blind eyes. It means in addition to this intelligence, there is something else embedded in it. Because that thing is divine. So they will now look beyond your intelligence and find the God that is communicated in your utterance. You can be on your job, they think you are smart. By the time they check you closely, they will now discover everything you do flows from an eternal inspiration. So you are beyond what you are. You are beyond what you look like. It's because all you do is an offspring of intimacy. And I told you last week, I said, the patriarchs of old understood this. So they lived their lives from the corridor of intimacy. They didn't live their lives from creativity. They lived their lives from a deep intercourse with God. And that's why everything they did could not be erased. They did things that was not natural. Because intimacy is lost in our own generation, we are now taught Christianity of safety and caution. Because even we know that if we try anything, we are in trouble. So today you want to travel, they advise you. They advise you to be careful where you are going to and when you are going. Because if you don't check the logistics correctly, there will be problem. But in the days of Elijah, you don't need to advise him to be careful, because no matter what happens, apart from the chariot, he can travel by the wind. Now that technology is not natural, but it takes intimacy to find the code that governs the operation of the wind. But our own Christianity no longer captures those emphases, because intimacy has been lost. I showed you a few things last week. For example, Adam, the first man. God created Adam, and the first thing Adam did was that all the animals that was on earth, Adam gave them names. Try to name 100 animals. You will discover how weak you are. You will now know that feat was a supernatural feat. It was not a product of intelligence. Meanwhile, some of the animals Adam named were at the belly of the ocean. Now, there is nothing like oxygen support system. It's either he traveled there or the animals traveled to him. Whichever technique was used is supernatural. But the reason Adam could demonstrate so much power was because the Bible said in the morning, every day in the cool of the day, Genesis 3:8, it said the voice of God came walking in the garden. So the more Adam mingled with God in intimacy, the more Adam could carry out feats that only God could carry out. Hope you know that the earth fell into darkness because Adam fell. Because in Psalm 82 verse 5, he said, they know not, neither would they understand. They walk on in darkness. He said, the foundation of the earth is out of course. They will fall like the princes. So when Adam fell, the moon lost alignment. When Adam fell, earthquake became possible. Landslide became possible. That means on the strength of Adam's presence on the earth realm, he kept the earth in his courses. And in Romans chapter 8 verse 17, he said, the earnest expectation of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Because the last time they saw a son of God walking on the earth, creation was not in bondage. So it was the fall of Adam that put creation in bondage. But this power that Adam walked in was a product of what? The voice of God came walking in the garden. The more he had intimacy with God, the more he lived like a God. A point came, Moses literally lived on the mountain. If you read the Bible, you will hardly find the tent of Moses. As Moses is coming down, you will hear that God say, come up hither. The other time I was reading the book of Exodus, and I thought they said Moses have a wife. This one that God is calling him every day, what about his family? I felt compassion for Moses' wife. What is the meaning of? The guy is called, he goes there, he's there for 40 days. And when he came down from the mountain, he saw that Israel had violated the law of God. He broke the commandment. And the Bible says he laid on his face, not for 4 hours, He laid on his face for 40 days. Moses did not fast for 40 days and 40 nights. Moses fasted for 80 days and 80 nights. The first one was on the mountain. The second one was on his face. Try to fast for 7 days. You will know the difference between you and Moses. But this man became so immortal because of their deep interaction with God. In fact, Moses, at the age of 120, the Bible said his strength was not abated. His eyes were not dim because the guy could not die. Glory had rested on him so much that God had to come down to invent a technology of killing the man. Because he knows that if he doesn't kill this man, people will start worshipping him. And the way God killed Moses was a secret. God had to take him away from the eyes of mortal men, because the guy literally had become a god. And if you know how they kill a god, you may hunt God one day. So he had to hide Moses at the back of the mountain and killed Moses there. And even after he killed Moses, the devil was finding, where did they take this? If we carry the body of Moses, maybe if we study it in the museum of hell, we may learn some things. We may find some specimen by which we will become like God. Hope you know, when they offended Moses, Moses said, except I'm not a man of God. He said, the earth will open her mouth and swallow you up. Where did you hear from that? The earth has mouth. It's where he traveled to. You are the one that thinks they farm on earth only. Moses knows that the earth is. You think earth is for farming, and then you are struggling for farmland. This is my land, and you are killing yourself. You. How did he know that the earth has mouth? Because he has been in the courts of heaven before. You know, when Abel was killed by Cain, God said the earth has opened her mouth and has received his blood. And he said that blood is crying to you from the ground. God was talking to Abel from the courts of Zion. Moses had gone there. So Moses knows that because I know this, I can command it. He took intimacy for these guys to walk like gods on it. Meanwhile, the reason he pained me so much is because the Bible said they don't have eternal life. And then you now check yourself. You have eternal life. You walk, you say, I have the Holy Ghost. I am a God man. I am a new creation. And this new creation, if they say there is a flu, you will have to lock yourself in the room for 3 weeks, because if you breathe the air, you are gone. It's a body. That we have fallen so far from God that even the animals are stronger than us now. A lion doesn't need clothes. He will walk in the cold and he is agile. Meanwhile, you, if you don't wear cardigan, if the temperature is 20 degrees, after 2 days, fever will kill you. How come we have become the weakest creation? Meanwhile, we were created as supreme in the creations of God. What has happened? Intimacy is gone. And when intimacy goes, you become flesh of flesh. And so it's important for us to understand the subject of intimacy, because that's what will restore your glory. You are not what your circumstance have painted you. You are not what your environment have painted you. They make you feel now that you are so vulnerable that every day of your life you are strong. The way some people pursue money, it looks as if they will die tomorrow. As they are walking, their heart is beating. If it's getting to 25th, they have not paid salary. If they are even greeting you, the way you will see on their face, compassion will come out of your heart. Then you will say, we don't know what to do. Is this a man of God? When you say miracle service, you are in trouble. Because the number of sick people that will come, the number of sick people. Now, it's beautiful. God anointed people so that they can provide these things while they are growing. But the volume of people that have need for healing alone is a call to awake the body of Christ. I will show you some scriptures. Let me just read Bible so that I don't enter into bodies again. And so Adam ruled the earth by intimacy. Moses functioned like a god by intimacy. Joshua accompanied Moses until Joshua too learned that way, until Joshua too became like a god. When you read the chronicles of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 1 verse 1, he said Joshua that followed Moses, he said after the death of Moses, God began to talk to that Joshua. And three things caught my attention about Joshua's life. The first is in Joshua 12 verse 7 to 24. He said Joshua defeated 31 kings and took over 31 nations. One man defeated 31 kings. The second thing that caught my attention about Joshua was in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. He said on one occasion when Joshua was fighting, he said the sun was going down. Joshua now noticed that as the sun was going down, the armies of Israel began to lose. You would think Joshua would say, retreat, we'll fight tomorrow. Joshua now stood and began to talk to the sun. He said, the sun should remain still. The moon should remain still. If anybody stand up in this generation and tell you that I want to talk to the sun, you will quickly enter your room and start fasting for the person. Why? You will say, this man wants to embarrass himself. Oh, he wants to bring the name of Jesus to disrepute. What kind of foolishness is this? Because it does not cross your mind that we have power over nature. We have so fallen that even the astrologers can manipulate nature more than us. If you go to the villages now and you want to do a ceremony, you have to pay some guys. If you don't pay them, they will move. This is not something they clap hand for. It's boys that do it in my village. I'm not talking stories. They are boys. Some of them, they used to hand it over. You know, spiritual things are not known because they are read. They are known because they are revealed. They will hand it over to them. And when people want to do events, they will go and look for them. If they travel, you have to travel. And when they find them, they will give them money so that that day, even if rain wants to fall, they will push the cloud away. And if you don't settle them, they will come and sit down and be drinking beer. When your event is about to start, they will move to the corner, say some things, and you will see your venue will become dark. It will become dark. If you don't settle them, rain will fall only in your venue. I'm not talking stories. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If I'm going for a crusade now and we pray that it shouldn't rain and it doesn't rain, I will preach it for 30 years. Meanwhile, this is what these guys do every day. Every day they pay them money for it. That's how they live. They live supernaturally. They live by controlling the weather. They don't need you to give them a job. They have many things. There are some that they have power for scorpions and snakes. You that the Bible says you will tread upon scorpions and serpents. If you see a scorpion, you say, no, what the Bible was saying is not real snake, oh, it's not serpent, it's circumstances. If you start preaching it, people will say wisdom is profitable to direct. Our Christianity is so unsupernatural that it's hard to believe. These guys, if you are beaten by scorpion, they will come and pack the venom. They will rub some things on your leg and they will pack the venom out of your blood. And they will carry the scorpion and go. Because they know the demons that control those things. And they talk to those demons. They are not reading any book. They didn't hand over any book to them. You have an advantage of the Bible. They didn't have any book. They just transferred the organic power to them raw. Raw. Somebody goes to see somebody and he gives him some things and he eats and he tell him when they finish on the third day, they will carry a live gun. It's not a gunpowder. They will carry a gun and shoot the person. And the bullet will hit him and come down. They don't do it. It's not that he walked today, he didn't walk tomorrow. That's how they live. They know that if you meet this man, gun won't enter you, bullet won't enter you again. That's how he lives his life. The dark people, they live by the supernatural. We believe on our brain and senses. And then we talk about supernatural things. We dance with it. Meanwhile, we don't believe it. We don't know it. Because the God that ruled the supernatural realm, we don't know that God. And until we come into intimacy, we will still be victims. If intimacy is not restored, we will be victims. The Bible spoke about Elijah. Elijah literally became a man of the mountains. And the point come, Elijah could call fire any day, anytime. In 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 10 to 12, Elijah called down fire to fight for him. He didn't need bows and arrows. A whole battalion came to arrest Elijah. They say, if I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you. He didn't need any special security system. He was the security of the territory because of intimacy. When the prophets of Baal wanted to mess up, he called down fire again. When Ahab himself wanted to mess up, he said, the heaven is now shut, there will be no rain. When you read these things from scripture, what do you feel? You think it's a story that doesn't pertain to you. Meanwhile, these men called on the same God that you call upon. They serve the same God that you say you are serving. And so there's something wrong. And I will show you why something is wrong. I will show you. This is why something is wrong. Hear what the Bible said. I'll read three things the Bible said that makes this your Christianity and my Christianity unacceptable. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. If these things were not in the Bible, it would have been okay. But since these things are in scripture, then something is wrong with our Christianity of only singing good songs, preaching good messages, and not having the power to reveal the God that we speak about. He said all the great men that were mentioned, he said none of them is greater than John. He said, however, for you and I who are born into this kingdom, he said we are greater than John. If I am greater than John and the things Elijah did are things that I can't believe, the things Enoch did are things I can't believe, the things Moses did are things I cannot believe, then it means two things are possible. Number one, it's either because I have not started living. Because when I start living, I will actually be greater than them. Or number two, it means that statement is not true. But you and I know that this statement cannot be a lie. And so if this statement cannot be a lie and this statement is true, then it means you have not started living. Because when you start living, the Bible says you will be greater than John, who is greater than Elijah. It says you will be greater than John, who is greater than Moses. He said, you'll be greater than John, who is greater than David. That means it's not enough to bear a title, either to call yourself a Christian or a believer, a prophet or an apostle, until you have known God beyond the extent to which they knew God, and you can manifest God beyond the extent to which they manifest God. Else, what you call life is a joke. Because he says you must be greater than these beings. Let me show you the second scripture. In John chapter 14, verse 12, hear what Jesus said. This one alone is a heartache. Now, Jesus came and made things worse. I will show you the life Jesus lived in a moment, but see what Jesus said. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do. So there are two questions. The first question is, do I believe in Jesus? Because the proof that I believe in Jesus, that's what he said. He said, if you believe in me, it means you will do greater works than I've done. So if I'm not doing greater works than what Jesus has done, it means what I call belief is not what Jesus calls belief. Maybe what Jesus called belief is different from what I call belief. And before I start parading myself as a Christian, before I start saying so many bogus things, I have to come down to the scriptures to find out. Lord, you say if I believe in you, I'll do greater works than this. Now let me show you three things Jesus did. Three. Number one, I'm trying to talk about intimacy. This background. The first thing Jesus did is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus lived a sinless life. He said, and ye know that he was manifested that he will take away our sins, and in him is no sin. If I believe in Jesus, it means my life progressively should ride above sin until I come to a point where sin no longer has dominion over me. That's one thing Jesus did. The second thing Jesus did is in John chapter 21 verse 25. Take these scriptures home and meditate on them, because what they told us Christianity is a lie. They taught us that Christianity is packaging and organization. They taught us that Christianity is a language. So when you speak that kind of language, you are a Christian. So when you come, you say, bro, sis, how you doing? When you walk, there's a way you walk. You walk like a holy man. So what they showed us is a form of godliness, because we have not taken time to examine it. They told us success in ministry is to have an LED screen. They told us success in ministry is to have people gather. And then when you are preaching, you hold your iPad and you are touching it. And that's what we have pursued for many years. This is why we are not Christians. Because Jesus is asking a question here that you cannot use your life to answer. So if you don't know these things, you won't know the direction to grow. Your idea of growth will be that you have a page on Facebook and 200,000 people follow you. So you wake up in the morning and you wear a suit and you sit down and you start talking about the code of life. And you'll be talking and doing like this. They told us that Christianity, we heard a lie, we believed the lie. If you don't examine these things, you won't have a body. It's when you grow old, you will discover that when the scales of the mortars are open, you can't stand. You can't stand because you never traveled in their direction. Many people today fight and kill themselves in church. Why? Because they give one person platform, they didn't give the other person. And when the person was ministering, the way the person was doing her hand, the one sitting was so angry. Imagine what she's doing. Am I not better than her? Because the zenith is the platform. And when you finish, you now go and check how many likes. Today is 10,000 likes. God is helping us. You can build an auditorium, but Jesus is not there. Because you don't need Jesus to build an auditorium. You need skill, lingo. You can talk men to bring out money. If you give men hope, they will surrender their money, because every man is looking for safety. You don't need Jesus to build an auditorium. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with an auditorium. We are in one auditorium now. But I'm telling you, as good as these things are, this is not spiritual progress. Because when there were no auditorium, God was hitting the earth with his glory. In the days of John the Baptist, in the days of Jesus, in the days of Moses, they were in the wilderness. The Bible said the Shekinah went after them as a pillar of cloud. It went after them as a pillar of fire. The greatest powers that the world saw happened when they didn't know about buildings. They taught us a lie. When we were growing up, you know, I've served for a long time. You know, we look young, but God helped us early. Somebody sent me a message yesterday and said, the way she saw me come to Abuja, she was angry. She said, Kai, it's my ambition that brought me. So she went to pray out of anger. She now was caught up in a trance. She saw 12 elders. And the elders were walking. And she now saw me behind them. And I was following the elders into the city. When she left the trance, that was when she now discovered that, okay, it's God that led me. I laughed. The people are funny. They think they have a right about your life, and you should come and explain your life to them. And if you don't explain your life to them, they will be so angry, and they will be talking and doing things. When you wake up, you will face your destiny. I will come now and begin to explain my life and every step I take. And because you are not happy about how I did what I did, you write me off because you called me. Well done. When I'm about to leave this world, I will come and answer to you that this call you gave me, I finished. You know, when you talk these things, it looks like you are proud. But this is why many people can never grow, because they are conscious of what people will say. When God speaks, they are afraid in case people are not happy. When you are 70 years old, you will weep. Too late. So if she didn't have that vision, all her life she would have said, this is an arrogant and ambitious preacher. Don't ever connect to him. My goodness. So Jesus said, if you believe, he said, you do greater works than him. And one of the works is that he lived a sinless life. Number two is in John 21:25. Don't shout when you see that scripture if you have not seen it before. And there are also many things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the whole world itself could not contain the books that it should be written in. That means Jesus woke up supernaturally. Everybody that met Jesus had an encounter. Everywhere Jesus went to, something supernatural happened. So in 33 years of Jesus' life, they said if all the volumes of books in the world are gathered together, they can't contain it. Maybe you should go to the library. Let me recommend two libraries for you. Do you have an idea how many books are in this world? If you see, at least in my own library alone, when I was in university, I know there are more than 10,000 books. Meanwhile, there are certain places where is a museum of books. All the books gathered together, they said if they wrote what Jesus did, that means if Jesus greeted somebody, there is something supernatural about it. Because Jesus will greet you. It's when you go, you now discover that a curse have left you. Jesus will shake hands with you and say hi. When you go back, you now discover that everybody is favoring you. Now, why is favor? What is happening? The land you couldn't sow for 10 years because you passed and Jesus smiled with you. You will now go back and four people will come to buy the land. You may not even trace it to Jesus because you won't know. But everything about him was supernatural. And this same Jesus is telling us that greater works than this shall ye do. Meanwhile, you, after you have labored in fasting and you came for the miracle service, is two people that were healed of headache. Because you only prayed to come and heal the sick. You didn't pray to know God. So you wanted to use God for a one-day miracle service. And because God is a king, you can't use him. So when you are tired of the charade, you will go and find God. And when you find God, even when it's no miracle service, when you come, people will be healed. Because the healing is not the goal. The experience and the knowledge of God is the goal. And that's why Jesus began to teach us about life. In John 17:5, he said, this is life eternal, that you may know him. The word know there is experiential knowledge. It's like intercourse, having carnal knowledge. That means is that you will experience God and continually experience him. It's something that can't be altered. He said, anyone who is not living in that experience of God does not have life. Because life is a relationship. It's not just something that is put in your spirit. He said it's a progressive and continuous relationship with God. And so the man who will come into the fullness of what God had in mind when he sculpted him in the studio of eternity is a man that continuously have a relationship with God. If that relationship is truncated, you can be breathing but you are dead. Because in 1 Timothy 5:6, he said, him that liveth for pleasure, he said, is dead even though he's walking. So many people are walking dead. They are breathing, but they are dead because they have no relationship. They receive healing from God, but they are dead. They have no relationship. They receive a breakthrough, but they are dead. They have no relationship. Some are even prophets and apostles, but they are dead. They have no relationship. They only have a title, and they were taught how to speak a particular kind of language. Intimacy, therefore, is the code and the key of existence. If you have not been able to sustain intimacy with God, it means everything you are doing is a lie. Time itself will prove it. When you leave time, you will discover that those things have no record in eternity because you were doing it apart from eternity. I told you yesterday how God designed man. I told you where God put man. When God designed man, he designed man to be an inverse of himself. Because God is spirit, he puts on flesh. In Jesus Christ, he put on flesh. Man is flesh, he puts in spirit. So both of them is spirit and flesh. But one is spirit who wears flesh. The other is flesh who puts in spirit. And because they are a hybrid creature, he created Eden so that they will live there. Because Eden too is a hybrid realm between the natural and the supernatural. So anything you do apart from God have not struck a chord in eternity. When you live here, after time, you will discover that that thing is a lie. It didn't exist. Only the things that have the signature of eternity will count after time. You may be creative. Wait until you leave time. You will discover that it has no chord in eternity. And so everyone who truly wants to gain value with God will have to make up his mind to begin the journey of intimacy. And I said, concerning intimacy, there are seven cadres. There are seven realms. The first realm of intimacy is a realm where you know about God. You may not know God, but you know about God. You know, for those of you who are married, there was a day you went to ShopRite to buy some things, and you were strolling as a senior man. And while you were shopping some things, you turned, and a lady passed, and you turned again. Who is this? And then you coordinated yourself. You know, you have to summon your masculinity. And when you summoned yourself, you walked up to her. Hello, how you doing? My name is Victor. Oh, it's not this Victor I'm seeing. My name is Victor. May I know you? And then she introduced herself. Oh, wow. That's great. I'll pay for what you paid for everything she bought for me. Why? That was your last money, but when you want to know about, you have to act. You paid with your last money. And then you gave her a ride. When you finished that evening, you were waiting for 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock became like 20 hours. But when 8 o'clock came, you called her. Hi, how are you doing? You who just quarreled with your friend. Come over there. When you now called her, you said, hi, how you doing? Hope you had a great day. You are knowing about her. The day you marry her, you will put her in the pocket. You will come and say, wait, there's no food in this house, so we have to divide the budget. If you spend more than this amount, now you knew about her. She told you her name was. When you get married, you will leave the realm of knowing about. You will know experientially. When you started your journey with God, you knew about God. You carried the book of Genesis. You read. They say God created the heavens and the earth. You say what? They told you how God delivered Israel from Egypt. Wow. You were overwhelmed. That realm is the lowest realm of intimacy. You can know God at that level but don't have intercourse with God. Just the same way you shook hands with 3-4 ladies, but it's one you married. Just the same way you spoke to 3-4 guys, but it's one you married. At the realm where you know about God, it's good because it will do two things for you. Number one, it will excite you. Number two, it will inspire you. The excitement and the inspiration is what will draw you to God. You want to find out, did they say he healed the sick? I have back pain. No? Does he heal the sick? Are you sure? You will read 2-3 more. Okay, if he heals the sick, then I'm here. Heal me. You are knowing about him. You are coming close because what you know will draw you close to him. So this level is not bad. As much as you can hear the stories of God, hear it. In fact, God told Moses that the things he has done for them in Egypt, he should recite it to them from generation to generation. He said, let these acts of God become a memorial, because a generation need to hear about God in order to be inspired to come close to God. So the first level of intimacy inspires you to come to God because you are knowing about God. You know that God is merciful. You know that God is powerful. Evangelists are very skilled in communicating this dimension. They can meet a murderer. The person is just coming from murder. They say they will look for a story and connect the story until they make the murderer knows that even in that state of murder, God loves him. It's a skill. You need to talk to people about God before they can be drawn to God. It's the first level of intimacy. But the highest thing that will do for you is to pull you to God. It's to pull you. And so, this dimension has a way of articulating it. The first way is to read. If you don't read about God, you will not know about God. That's why in Ephesians 4:13 he said, until I come, give attendance to reading. I'm saying this because even this first level, there are many Christians who are not there. You will say a whole story in the Bible. They will say, who said that? You are talking about Balaam. They are opening Luke. They are looking for Balaam in Luke. Because they've not read. You say, the battle of Armageddon. Because it's sound Armageddon. They will go and open Leviticus. they are looking. Because even knowing about God, they don't know. So those ones, they may call themselves Christians. They may be born in Christian homes, but they are godless. They are walking in darkness. Because the highest level of darkness, I told you, is what? Is a state of godlessness. They are in darkness. Those are the kinds of people Jesus said in Matthew 6:23. He said, if the light in you is darkness, he said, then great is that darkness. Because they know nothing about God. So the first way to activate intimacy is to read. He says, search within the book of the law and read. He said, none of these things shall fail. He said, the mouth of the Lord, it has spoken it, and his spirit has gathered it. If you don't read about God, you will never know him. And so, the culture of the fathers of old and what they taught the body of Christ is the discipline of sitting to read. But in our generation, they tell you, don't worry, we have fasted for you. It's a lie. The person can raise the dead, it will make you know God. You will clap for him, but you will never know God. Because the fathers that gave us the landmark, they showed us that the first way to grow in God is to read it. You will read it for yourself. I know we are in a generation of audio Bible. When you hear audio Bible, you will discover you heard 120 of what was said. Because you can be reading audio Bible and talking with your friend. Nothing is happening to you. You will have to culture yourself to sit down and read that book for yourself if you want to know about God. But those cultures are lost now because we are more interested in dancing in church. The Feast of the Tabernacle, Israel comes to sit down and they read the whole Torah for them. And everybody reads it. In fact, your masculinity in Israel is verified if you can recite it. They know that that's the first layer of knowing God. If we took a census here, how many of you have read the Bible cover to cover? You will be shocked. And I didn't say you'll be shocked because of the number of people. I'm saying you'll be shocked because of the number of pastors. You didn't hear what I said. If it's the brethren, you can understand, but you'll be shocked. But he said he invited the pastor for them to talk about the book of Revelation. He brought him, flew him to his city in Florida. They sat on air. And Benihim said, for 2 days, he will be talking. The guy was like this. After the second day, now say something. That's why I brought you here. The guy said, well, I've not read the book of Revelation. That is kind of calling. He doesn't need the book of Revelation. He's a motivational preacher. So he reads Psalms and Proverbs. And when he reads... If you are a Christian here, and you have not read the book, you don't know about God. It's a pathetic state. But many are there. I'm showing you why we are weak. Why, even when we talk about the dimensions of God, it looks as if we are preaching impossible gospel. You know, now, the kind of gospel they preach is the gospel that the psychology realm, the soulish realm can handle. When you start talking about the real supernatural thing that the patriarchs of old carried out, they will say that is not possible. That thing you are saying won't work. Tell people how to sow, because when you sow, you will receive back. The one that is universal, that's the one we do now. We fell into time, and time trapped us like a net. The second way to know about God is to hear his messages. He didn't only tell him to read. He said to also pay attention to exhortation. When you carry the phone of a believer, the playlist is littered with 90% of the song. They are secular music. And then when you ask him, he say, is it a sin? No, it's not a sin. But your heart will become a courtyard of demonic festival. They will play there for a long time. You don't know why you keep falling to masturbation. And when you wake up, you say, we are many. You are not many. You are the one who is falling. They fall from fornication. After 2 weeks, they fall again. After 2 weeks, they fall again. And then you ask it. They say, oh boy, no easy. It's easy. You are the only one it's hard to. Because the people stand, they are not standing because they are strong. They are standing because they are helped. And you don't know how to access the help of God. Any little pressure, they compromise. They came to the office. They say, if you don't lie, you will lose your job. They say, oh boy, I beg you, I beg you, I beg you. Before you ask, they lie 4 times. And they say, please, me, I want to keep my job. Because their job is their life. But they didn't read that there were 3 Hebrew boys that the king told them, if they don't bow, they'll be cast to the furnace of fire. And they say, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. If it's on this matter, make the fire hotter 7 times, we will not bow. And it was not a bluff, because they made the fire 7 times hotter and they threw them inside, but they didn't bow. They say, our God is able to save us, but even if he doesn't save us, we will not bow. You will not find Christians today who are able to lose their job for righteousness' sake. It's no longer found, because you don't know what those who called the name of the Lord before you did. If you know that some were thrown to the lake of fire, you will know that your job is nothing. You say, Paul and Barnabas, these be the men that have started their lives for the gospel. But you have to listen and read to know. The reason your walk with God is shallow is because you have not heard what others did. You came, you say you are an apostle, you walk like this. Go and check the apostles of scriptures. When you know what they did, every day you ask God to help you. I'm a prophet. You are a prophet. Do you know who a prophet is? A prophet. And when you check prophet's text message is with 7 ladies. He has appointment with all of them, and what they are discussing, you can't hear. Meanwhile, in the days of old, when a prophet entered the city, he comes with the government of righteousness. If he cries, even the king will tear his clothes and repent. Meanwhile, our own prophecy now is, your name is Martha. And the next thing, Martha will chat you later. And you didn't read about prophet Jonah that entered Nineveh. And when Jonah cried, even the animals repented. Do you know who a prophet is? A prophet stands on behalf of God. He's a deity. A prophet. Think prophet is about the gift. But you have not read. If you have read, you would have known that a prophet is God's symbol of righteousness to a generation. When God wants to reveal righteousness to a generation, he sends a prophet. He said, John cried. The whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. And they repented. Even the Pharisees, their heart was caught. Because a prophet showed up. I'm saying this so you know the direction you need to grow. Thank God for crowd. The glory of the king is in the multitude of the people. Thank God for excellence. He said, make garment unto Aaron for beauty and for glory. But much more than glory, there is a vertical journey. That a man sits under you after 3 months, that man's pursuit becomes God. He may come from a beer parlor, but after he hears you, the appetite dies. Nobody advises him to stop drinking beer, but he can't find it. The test ball is like a surgical operation. They remove it like as if they expose it to radiation. And even if he goes back to drink that beer, it will become bitter. And the man himself, we know that he didn't hear a message. You deposited God into his spirit. You think our generation is looking for message? Any topic you are looking for, type it on YouTube. You will see the most excellent teachers. They have taught on it before. If it's messages, then the world would have ended. It's witness that the generation is looking for. But for you to journey in that direction, you need to be full of God. First layer of intimacy is to know about God. The second layer of intimacy is to know and apply the principles of the kingdom. The man who is functioning by the principles of the kingdom have gone beyond just knowing about. He is now putting it to work. In Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, he said, whoever uses milk is a babe and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He said, but strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern. That is sound judgment. They now understand the ways of God. And I showed you an example the last time I was teaching here. I said, for example, when you read Genesis chapter 1, it said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he said, the earth was void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. That is a story on one layer. But on another layer, there's a principle underneath. The principle underneath reveals to you that challenges are possible. But number one, challenges are not designed to destroy you. Challenges are designed to help you manifest your God element. So when God saw problem, it wasn't a problem, it was a platform of manifestation. So when you run into a problem, it's not fear that is the response. When you run into a problem, you begin to ask, what is the principle, what is the law that makes this an advantage? Because gravity is present, but it's not an impediment to aerodynamics. Because if you apply the law of lift, gravity will exist, but the plane will still fly. Without the law of lift, it will be impossible for a matter that massive to float in the air. But when you move from gravity to lift, gravity becomes an advantage, because when the plane wants to thrust, it is gravity that pushes it. So when you understand that there is a dimension of God that solves all problems, problems no longer scare you. Problems become a school to activate the God element in you. So when you see challenges, you find out, what am I supposed to do? In John chapter 6, he preached to 3,000 people, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And after 3 days, they were hungry. And they said, these people are hungry. If they are going home, they will faint on the road. And Jesus said, give them something to eat. And they said, give them, even 1 year's salary can't suffice. How can we give them something to eat? The Bible said in John 6 verse 6, that himself knew what he should do. He's a master. He understands how the realm works. So a Christian will be disadvantaged if he doesn't understand the principles of the kingdom. The reason many remain poor is because they are living like the world system. They don't know the principles that run this kingdom. So when they make money, they keep to themselves. They want to keep more and more. But in this kingdom, he said there is him that scattered it, yet he is increased. The liberal soul is made fat. He that watereth shall by himself be watered unto. He said, give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over, shall God cause men to give to you. The only time the power that causes men to give to you is activated is when you give. That's why he said, give a portion to seven. Give a portion to eight. You know not the evil that will come upon the earth. He said, in the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. He said, for you know not the evil that will come upon the earth. But here is a Christian. He has money and he hides it. He said, he wants to take my money. Meanwhile, if you were in the world, it would have worked. Because in the world, you can support it with stealing. In the world, you can support it with fraud. In the world, you can support it with manipulation. But in this kingdom, fraud, stealing, and manipulation is forbidden. So you need the invincible finger to activate it. But you have to study the scripture and find out what the principles say. So the way you access principle is not just by reading, it's by studying. So in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved. I know you have read the story, but it's time for you to examine the story. What is God saying that I'm not seeing? And as you begin to study, comparing scriptures with scriptures, a point will come, the missing links will begin to connect. And then you know, this is not just a story, this is a code given to you to live a life of advantage. So a believer is not supposed to be disadvantaged, because captured in the oracles of God are principles that make for his advantage. But unfortunately, he has not studied. And because he has not studied, he has not shown himself approved. So he's a victim. Some people carry the Bible. In 5 minutes, they have read 20 chapters. My brother, that book is a code. They don't read it fast. They read it meditatively. They read it with prayer. They read it asking for help. So the way you journey from stories to principle is to study it. Sometimes the key is in a word. You read 4 chapters, but one word carries the key. So as you are reading, sometimes you have to search the meaning of the word to find out what he's saying that you don't know. When he opens to you, then you are enthroned. Principles is the second realm. And principles are important because they reveal to you the faithfulness of God. So you know that when you do this, as surely as the Lord liveth, it must come to pass. So a man who functions by principle knows God at a higher level. He doesn't just admire God, but he can depend on God. Because he knows that this principle has worked before, this principle will still work, and this principle will forever work. So that man knows God at a higher level. The first man is just, he admires the power of God. The second man believes in the power of God. So the relationship level is higher. But the way to access principle, number one, is to study, to show yourself approved. Number two is to ask God to open your eyes. I told you already, truth is not discovered, it's revealed. No matter how you labor, you will never find it until he reveals it to you. So while you are studying, you are asking him to show you what you need to know. But many people just carry the Bible, they think it's about quoting. You will quote 50 scriptures about prosperity and you will die of hunger. Are you seeing what I'm showing you here? So the first layer of intimacy depends on your willingness to pay the price to read. It also depends on your willingness to pay the price to sit down and listen. The second layer of intimacy depends on your willingness to, beyond reading, to study and to search. The reason people never grow in God, they assume they will just wake up one day and know God more. You won't. You have to pay the price to search God out in the book. Find out how his realm works. Because God's kingdom is not only a person, it's a realm. And there's a way that realm works. They say the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because they know not how to enter the city. There is a way to enter. And you will search it to find it. The second layer of intimacy depends on your willingness to ask him to reveal it to you. You don't ask him to reveal it, you will struggle for a long time. And when you begin to put principles to work, you will yet discover that there is a higher realm. Because there is a realm of personal relationship. Because as beautiful as principles are, they are universal. I told you already. The principles you are applying, if a Hindu person apply it, he will get the same result. If a Muslim apply it, he will get the same result. If a sinner apply it, he will get the same result. So as beautiful as that is, because it reveals to you the faithfulness of God, it reveals to you the consistency of God, the immutability of God. Beyond that, there's a realm of personal relationship. Because God is not just here to answer your prayers. God is here to have a relationship with you. And so when you grow from principle, you come to a revelation of Jesus, a personal revelation of Jesus. When you study the scripture in the Old Testament, every patriarch had a name he called God. When you read the Old Testament, you want to preach, you say El Shaddai, Sabaoth, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Jireh. You don't know that all those names were caught on the mountains of intimacy. Men who met him personally. So it is their revelation of God. When a man catches a revelation of God, he becomes a custodian of that dimension. So the reason Abraham and his children cannot be poor is because they found El Shaddai. So even in a dry land, Isaac will sow and receive a 100-fold reward. Isaac will dig a well, there will be water. Collect that well from him. If he moves, the water will dry. So what keeps the water there is not the soil. It's the presence of Isaac because of his revelation of El Shaddai that causes the fountain to bubble up. But men in our generation will not pay the price to have a personal relationship with Jesus. They think they can call on him when they have a problem. I told you already, life is a relationship. You've got to know him personally. And when you know him personally, you will now discover that
there is a realm superior to principles. A man who doesn't know Jesus may need to carefully obey the principles for certain things to work. But a man who knows Jesus will discover that in addition to principle, there's an aroma called favor. A man who knows Jesus will discover that in addition to principles, there is a flavor called mercy. So he comes to a place, probably he's not the most qualified. The principal insists that the most competent should have it. But when he shows up, even though he's not the most qualified, favor begins to knock on the door. I came with him. And because I came, he must be choosing. And that man is choosing, even himself does not know why he's the one. Because he came with favor. A man fails, he's supposed to be condemned. But suddenly, Jesus said, I died for him. I died for him. And so mercy prevails over judgment. Why is that so? There's a realm superior to principle. I told you, that was why Jesus multiplied bread. The principle is for you to what? To sow before you can reap. But when Jesus comes, he tells you, I'm sending you to a field where you bestowed no labor. So even though sowing and reaping is eternal, there is a place in God where you can reap where you did not labor. That's why we are here today. Some of us are preaching today. We just showed up in town. People come and they are blessed. It's because some intercessors probably labored in this land and insisted that in the 20s, God must raise voices that will bring Jesus to this city. You now come. When you see crowd, you walk into the hall like this. You say it's because we are anointed. If you know how many lineage of intercessors paid the price that you are gliding on, you will understand that Jesus is a system. How do you access this realm of Jesus? Number one, you must believe. Because every realm has what it takes to access it. To know Jesus, you must believe. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, it said, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. I'm showing you this. They look simple, but this is why we fail. Because you may leave this hall after this meeting and you are confronted with a problem. And instead of leaving your head and entering your heart, you will remain in your head and labor for 2 weeks and see the futility. Because it's not just hearing it, it's your ability to catch it that makes the difference. You can live here now and you a problem meets you. Instead of stepping into your spirit and believing that Jesus is your defense, you will now begin to quickly put logistics together. When you put 1,001 logistics together and it doesn't work, that's when you will now start coming back to Jesus. This is why many people struggle. When you understand how to activate the realm of Jesus, you will know that believing is superior to doing. Your doing is validated to the degree that you believe. If you have not believed that you are doing, that labor will be in futility. So to activate the realm of Jesus, you have to believe in your heart that he is the Son of God, he died for your sins, and he was raised from the dead for your justification. If you believe that he is the Son of God, what it means is that you are tapping into an economy that is beyond the earth realm. So even if the earth fails, your source is not earth. Your source is from beyond the earth. If you believe that he died for you, it means what you receive from God is not a privilege, it's a right. I wish you understood it. He said, as many as believed, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God. You know, when God blesses you now, you will think, you are so lucky. There's no luck in the realm of God. Before God can bless you, he will first of all give you the right to participate in it. That's why you can receive it, because his realm is a legalistic realm. You have the right to be the son of God because you believe that he died for you. So everything that made it impossible for you to justly live from the realm of God, Jesus took it to the grave. And then you believe he was raised from the dead for your justification. What it goes to mean is that his life has been activated on your inside. So things may not be working. Before you look around, you will look inside. Because you now know that within you is the God factor. And so most times when we pray, what we are trying to do is to search into Christ and find out the answer that is required for the specific problem. So praying in tongues is not a religious thing. It's the same way an archaeologist digs into the earth to discover. So when a man is praying, if he has understanding that not just the answer is in him, but the God of the answer is in him, nothing can move him anymore. So you can't throw that man off balance. When he enters his room, what he will come out with, you can't believe it. The man can enter his room defeated, but when he comes out as a more than a conqueror, because he has searched into Christ, and everything God has is in Christ. But it takes the revelation of the resurrection and believing in it for you to function like that. Now, that level of intimacy, many have not reached there. That's why you see people today, they run from pillar to pole, helter skelter. A man can go and sit down and wait for an apostle for 4 weeks. He can go and sit down and wait for a prophet for 2 months, but he will never go to his room and spend 3 hours, because he thinks his answer is an external. He doesn't know that the day he received Christ, all the answers he's ever looking for is within. And because he doesn't know, he will never invest on his inside. You will find that man all over the place. If you shut him down and say, "Search here," he doesn't know there is any value there. So he will never invest inward. A man who understands that he has come into another level of relationship and Christ is in him, 90% of his life is inside. I can assure you that many Christians are shallow inside, but they are bogus on the external, because they don't know. It takes so much to believe. To believe, you have to pay attention. You don't hear things haphazardly and believe it. So this realm of intimacy will require you to separate yourself, because you will not hear it in the market and believe it, because your mind will fight it. Imagine there is a growth on your belly and somebody shows up and tell you that if you believe it will go. Huh? Your mind will tell you it's not possible. The circumstances of life will fight it. So many times, this kind of intimacy will require separation, because you must pay attention for that thing to become flesh in your spirit. Many Christians never separate themselves, and that's why their revelation of Jesus remains shallow. And everything you have is a product of your revelation of Jesus. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible made us understand that he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He said, "But it is through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and to virtue." But many don't have that knowledge, because they never separate themselves. They never pay attention, so it doesn't enter their spirit. You want to grow in that revelation, you must pay attention. I know you are a banker. I know you are a lawyer. But every day, you must separate yourself and find out what is the new thing he's saying that is coming from here. It's a breaking news. And if you don't grow in the revelation of Jesus, your life will be haphazard. Things will happen to you, and you will live based on luck and chance. When you access this realm, 3 things will happen to you. Number one, life will be activated in you. That life activated in you is what overcomes the world, not your brain power. That's why in 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, it says, "Whatever is born of God overcometh the world." This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. When you are born of God, life is activated in you. Number two, faith is activated in your spirit. In Romans chapter 12 verse 3, it says, "Unto every one of us is dealt unto the measure of faith." So the faith you require to live a glorious life is already there. But it will take what? Continuous and progressive revelation of Jesus for you to grow in that faith. So if there's any mountain challenging you now, the mountain is not the problem. Your ignorance is your problem. Because the moment you step into a higher revelation of Jesus, faith will mount up. And when faith mounts up, it will immobilize the mountain. The third thing it will do for you is that it will activate authority in your life. Because authority is a function of revelation. Jesus sent out 70 people and they were babes. He gave them power in Luke 10:17. And as they went out, they returned celebrating. And what did they say to him? He said, "The demons were subject to us in thy name." So they went with the name of Jesus. They carried that name as a weapon. The reason you go out and come back defeated is because of what you don't know. The day you know your authority in Christ, you will begin to wield it. The revelation of Jesus activates life. The revelation of Jesus activates faith. And the revelation of Jesus activates authority. When you see Christians struggling, the problem is not their struggle. The problem is their ignorance. That's why I said in Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 that my people perish, not because I'm powerless and not because they are helpless. They perish for the lack of knowledge. So when a man's life and experience is actually a report card of his depth of intimacy. Because when that man begins to know God more, the circumstances will begin to change. Because that revelation will bring life. That revelation will activate faith, and that revelation will provoke authority. Why am I teaching you these things? Because you can't continue living your life depending on others' benevolence. Most times we call on God and God doesn't show up. The reason is because he has already shown up. And when he showed up in Christ, he deposited everything you need. Your job is to pull it out. Imagine if I was wealthy and I wrote my will and I gave you everything I had. And then tomorrow you come back to me and say you have a need. I can't help you. I've already willed everything I have to you. When God gave you Jesus, he willed everything he has to you. You can appear in heaven now and beg God. You won't find any result. Because he has given you all in Christ Jesus. That's why he said in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, if he withheld not his only son, but gave him freely for us, how shall he not with him give us all things? So your refusal to tap into Christ, your refusal to press into the revelation of Jesus is a gross disfavor to your life and destiny. Because if you don't know Jesus, God will be helpless in your matter. Is the third realm of intimacy. And that's where the quality of your life truly begins to improve. Because it's not only your circumstances that are affected, your very being is also affected. The fourth level of intimacy. These are the levels that our Christianity cannot accommodate. But we will teach it. Because God told us to say it. You know the way seasons are activated over a generation is that God sent proclaimers to begin to talk about it. As they are talking about it, the corporate faith level of the people begins to rise. As the corporate faith level begins to rise, a point will come, that generation will have enough faith to receive it, then God will release it. You know, some years ago, 3-4 years ago, some of my friends began to have glory realm encounters. And when they started preaching it, pastors fought them and destroyed it. And almost destroyed their ministry. Because they walked into something by intimacy. They knew that thing was available to the church and they preached it. But see the problem you have when God wants to move. Those who have gone ahead, they want to peg the revelation of God to only what they know. If you say anything they don't know, they call it heresy. It didn't start with us. When Alexander Dowie came to Maria Woodward Etcher's meeting, and she saw people being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and being slain under the anointing, Alexander Dowie stood up with a campaign that the slaying anointing is demonic. Alexander Dowie almost destroyed Woodward Etter's ministry. Just because if Woodward Etter begins to pray, people fall down. Alexander Dowie didn't know it. And so Alexander Dowie claimed that it was demonic. But many years later, the body of Christ now accepted. Now if you are doing slaying anointing, that's kindergarten. Because the body has what? Grown. The fourth realm of intimacy with Jesus is the realm where men literally begin to participate in the spirit realm. It's not only God and angels that come here. Men are also invited to come there. Because there are certain levels of legislation and spiritual governance that will not be possible until we begin to appear in the councils of heaven. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, before John could bring the testimony of the apocalypse to the body of Christ, he had to be caught there. Because if you don't see it and participate in it, you can't talk about it. Even if you say it, the atmosphere can appear. Because there are things that can never be taught. Hope you know, in Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 and 10, John who knew Jesus for 3.5 years. The Bible said John was the one that put his head on Jesus' chest. When he entered the realm, the Jesus he met there, the level of glory he carried, Jesus had to reintroduce himself to John. Because the glory that you receive when you hear a message is different from the glory you see when you appear there. Because earth is limited. There is so much of God that earth cannot handle. So no matter how we preach Jesus, there is a weight of glory that earth can handle. If that weight enters the earth, earth will dematerialize. Hope you know that when Jesus appeared by the voice of the archangel, he said the whole elements of the earth will melt. So there are weights of glory that earth can handle. So no matter how you preach Jesus, it's only a measure of Jesus that earth can receive. If God wants you to interact with glory that should bring certain level of government and governance to the earth realm, the only way is that you have to be summoned up. You have to be summoned. That's why John knew Jesus on earth, but Jesus had to be introduced to him in heaven. There are different glory realities. Come up hither. Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. And he said, when he entered there, he said, I saw a white throne. The realm has changed. This one is not the revelation of the love of God. This one is the government and the judgment of Elohim. If you bring the judgment of God to the earth now, the earth will end. That's why when Jesus read Isaiah 66 in Luke chapter 4, he stopped at the acceptable year of the Lord. The government have not yet been activated, but there are measures of that government that needs to come into the earth realm to minimize evil and to advance the kingdom. For you to tap into it, you will be summoned. You must be summoned. And so when he appeared there, he didn't meet Jesus the love. He met Jesus the king. And he saw 24 elders. And he said they were bowing their faces, casting their crown. He saw the four beasts. He had come into the council of the Godhead. When he returned from there, he said, I write unto you the church of Ephesus. Then you don't talk to people anymore. You talk to territories. You talk to generations. Because you are bringing a weight that a man can handle. When he came down, he didn't talk to anybody again. The ministry of John to individuals ended when he was summoned. I write unto you, Smyrna. I write unto you, Philadelphia. I write unto you. He was talking to territories. Because at this time, the weight that came is for territorial legislation. If our revelation of Jesus is only what is preached, we are still limited. A time will come when we have to be summoned. Because the kingdom is not just about life. The kingdom is also about the fellowship of the Spirit. The kingdom is also about the will of the Father. And these three harmonizes in the realm as a unilateral government. Only when you come there can you bring the three at the same time. So there's a realm of intimacy where you begin to come up hither. Come up hither. You don't just hear messages. You don't just receive revelation. You come up hither from time to time. Ah, I read the story. The first time, you know, there's a man called Bob Jones. He was the one that opened this dimension to this generation. You know, different dimensions of God vanishes from generation to generation. Except a man of sufficient stature rises and provokes it again. It was Bob Jones that activated this dimension. And he walked in it so much that he began to provide guardianship over a whole territory. So much so that there was a day when Rejoiner had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus spoke to Rejoiner, and Rejoiner didn't understand Jesus. And Jesus told Rejoiner, go and meet Bob Jones, he will tell you what I've told you. Bob Jones is not here. How will he know? Because you have come to Mount Zion. He said, you have come to what? To an innumerable company. See, there are witnesses in that realm. A multitude of witnesses. That because they have a seat there, even if they are not around, they are aware of what is happening. And when Rick Joyner met Bob Jones, Bob Jones began to tell him the meaning of the encounter he had with Jesus. That level of intimacy is available to us, but we have not maximized it. When you see the church being overrun, it's because men have not journeyed. When we begin to journey, like Ananias, you can sit in Abuja like this. No terrorists will come here, even if they pay them half of the wealth of the world, because they know they can't enter. I've told you several times, John was causing havoc in Jerusalem. Paul, named Saul, the moment he stepped into Damascus, he was struck. Why? there was a gatekeeper. Jesus himself had to send him to Ananias. If this man doesn't permit you, you are finished. There are levels of intimacy. Christianity is not about a message. It's about a person and the reality of that realm. When you begin to walk with Jesus, you will discover that a time will come, Jesus will cease to be a man. Jesus will become a word. That's why he said he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's in that knowledge. And in Ephesians 1 verse 3, he said all spiritual things have been given to you, but they are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So there are places in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to journey with Jesus, he begins to bring you to those places. There are certain places you enter. When you come out, you become an expression of a dimension. I can come here and pray for the sick are healed. There are certain people who don't pray by faith, and they don't need healing anointing. They have become embodiment of the dimension of healing. Whether they pray or not, the sick will be healed. There are different levels. When you enter a realm in the spirit, you become an expression of that dimension. You become a witness of that dimension to your generation. So when God is calling us into intimacy, he's actually trying to make out of us what the world can only but call a wonder. That's why Isaiah said, I and the children that the Lord has given to me, we are for signs and we are for wonders. If our Christianity remains where it is now, a day will come, churches will be shut down, because we will not have enough power to contend with the enemy at the gate. Because as we are not going forward, it doesn't mean we are the only people. Darkness is advancing. There are many people. I was with a friend of mine. A lady offended somebody, and they took her name to a herbalist in a shrine. And the herbalist sent a message to her in the city. And in the city, she got crippled. And then when they came to us, they told us that three pastors heard about it, and they were going to the lady's compound in the village. And I asked myself, I said, the herbalist that crippled her, did the herbalist come to where she is? And the pastors gathered themselves. They said they are going to do VG in the compound. They went. When they went, it was bees that drove them back. We are not growing in light, but darkness is growing. A man can sit at home and send leprosy to Lagos. Meanwhile, you want to do deliverance. You will stand up. You say you are going in a night bus, that you will do VG. You will tear down this place today. The person who caused the problem, did he come? If we don't grow, churches will be overrun. We'll still be around talking all this, give it to be given unto you, until things will go wrong. There's a realm dimension of intimacy. There are certain men that they will come into the judgment of God. And if they walk into a city, they don't need to talk. The judgment of God will begin to judge that city. Did you not read about John Knox? He entered the place in God so deep, when he came into Scotland, people began to repent without a crusade. Judgment had come to the city. Did you not read about Noah, about Jonah? He came to Nineveh. He didn't need to go house to house. Where he stood, as he cried, the whole city was shut down. Because Jonah knew the presence of God. The Bible said Jonah knew this place so much that sometimes he said Jonah ran from the presence of God. He knew the door. There are levels of intimacy. We are so distracted, we don't grow. Somebody can be in his room and say he wants to wait on God, and he's hearing music. He will sleep and wake up. We sleep and wake up. He say, Abai. Abai. We don't know this thing, so we don't have bodies. You are a prophet, and in your own family, death is picking people. And that death doesn't need your permission. And you come out, you say you are a man of God. You are going for a crusade in Congo. Meanwhile, your compound, there is a harvest of demons. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. The way to access this realm is to live on the altar. I'm not saying to pray and come back. It's the way of Eden. every man who was ever caught up, the altar became his home. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. I heard a sound as of a trumpet, and as I turned, he said, come up hither. I'm not talking about those who visit and come out. I'm talking about those who literally have become mobile altars. They tarry there until they know no other place but the altar. Our Christianity is more on the platform now than on the altar. That's why we can't affect our generation. There are men that must make the altar their habitation. Even when they are in the office, they are in the spirit. You know, in Galatians 5:25, it says, if you say you are in the spirit, walk in the spirit. And the way to make the altar mobile is to tongue round the clock. It takes sound for you to be elevated. That sound can be tongues, that sound can be worship. But for you to function in this realm, there must be a sound playing in your spirit 24/7. That means you have become a man of the altar. You are walking, you are speaking in tongues. When you are not speaking in tongues, you are singing a song in your spirit. Constantly a river is flowing. When the momentum of that sound increases, you are caught up. It takes labor to walk with God. And if we don't walk with God now, then it's unfortunate. Because the Bible said, Enoch, who was 7 after Adam, walked with God. Genesis 4:24, and he was not. The fourth man had already mastered the technology of walking with God. We have lived for aeons. If we don't know how to walk with God now, then there's a problem. But if you make it a life, you will become an embodiment of the dimension that is shown to you. Hope you know that when John went to heaven, he wanted to write it. They said, this is not a message. Don't write it. It's only meant for those who come here. That level of intimacy is not teleported to people. You have to go there to find it. He said, I wanted to write the voice of the seven thunder. He said, do not write it. This one is not a message. When Paul was carried in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 2, he said, I know a man 14 years ago. Whether he was in the body or in the spirit, I can't tell. But that man was carried to the third heaven. He said, I heard things that was unlawful to be uttered among men. Because when you enter that realm, you cease to be a mortal man. You become an embodiment of a dimension. You can no longer be known after the flesh. You'll be known after the dimension that you represent. Meanwhile, if the body of Christ will come into safety, then men will cease being men. Men will become embodiment of dimensions. So when we gather like this, it's not a gathering of believers. When we gather like this, it's a gathering of dimensions and dispensations. So when we sit, some men will represent healing. Some men will represent judgment. And some men will not just represent dimensions. They will represent dispensations. So some men can come into your meeting. Because they come into your meeting, you will begin to know the things that will happen 20 years to come. Because they have gone ahead of you. They are 20 years ahead of that generation. So when they come into a gathering, they bring the future. And when you are going through crisis and you meet such men, they have the power to take you out of your crisis and bring you into your tomorrow. Because they represent dispensations. That's what these men carry. And that's a level of intimacy. Ah, time is gone. The Holy Ghost will reveal the rest to us. The fifth realm is the realm of the voice. In John chapter 10 verse 27, we say, my sheep know my voice and they obey me. When you have traveled, you will live by the economy of the voice. There's no uncertainty anymore. Time is gone. If I continue, I will undermine the message. Bow your heads and pray. If our generation is able to reach the fourth realm alone, we will bring the deliverance unto Jacob. The prayer point is simple. Hear this. All of this journey requires hunger. Ask the Lord, put a hunger in my spirit. Just ask that prayer. And for the first time, forget about everything. Just ask the Lord. Listen, if these things happen to you, you will become a God in your generation. The Bible said in Isaiah 60 verse 15, it said you were called a waste place. No man walked through you. He said, but I tell you, when God brings intervention, you will be the joy of many generations. When these things happen to you, you will not just bring joy to your generation. You will be the joy of many generations. These are the things that the fathers of old pursued. That's why they are long gone. But today we preach about them. You can't preach and not call Enoch, not call Moses, not call David, not call Paul. You cannot preach the gospel and not call Peter. You cannot preach and not call Elijah. They have become transgenerational entities. Will your life end with you? That means you didn't travel in God. That we will function from our ranks. When the church is threatened, the person preaching will wait. Then sons of Issachar will come. And they will tell you what the enemy is planning to do and what we need to do to disarm them. And it will not be a religion. You will do it, it will happen. That when we want to travel, some men will come. See, we will become so invincible. Jesus said, as the wind bloweth. He said, thou listest not from where it goeth or where it's coming. He said, so are they that are born by the Spirit. That a day will come when you ban traveling. All you need to do is to call an usher. And maybe that usher is a banker. So it's not an intercessor that you're saying. It's a banker and it's an usher. You will call that usher and tell the usher, we need to travel to Pakistan tomorrow. And that usher will come and carry you from church to Pakistan. When you finish, he will bring you back. And it will be normal. There is a war coming. We are not prepared. We are too natural for the battle that is coming. The war coming is the war of God. You need supernatural men to stand. And the only way we can stand is when we build intimacy. And it begins with hunger. Tell the Lord to put a hunger in your spirit. Don't be distracted by the many things happening. I want to find something. I don't want to be normal. There are too many normal people. Speaking English, speaking songs, and the body can't go forward. When we have a crisis, everybody is stranded. Even national crisis. Imagine, I don't need to spite the church in Ukraine. But there is war in Ukraine. There's no prophet that can stand up and say, God told me this will not happen. There's no intercessor that can stand up and say, restore. There's no man who can stand. Who told you if it happens in Nigeria, anybody can stand up and speak? That's when you will discover how natural we are. We are talking bogus things. If put in tongues and faces Nigeria now, who can stand up and immobilize the army of Russia? Because we think Christianity is about speaking in tongues and building churches. In the days of David, he used the anointing to raise warriors.
In the days of Zacharias, he used the anointing to create witty inventions.
He said Hosea began to reign at the age of 16. And he said in those days, he hearkened to Zacharias, who had interpretation of the visions of God. And he built engines by the anointing. We are talking about Nigeria's economy. No man can stand up and say by the Spirit, this and this and this is what we should do to turn the economy around. We end up, we are religious people. We can't invoke the power of God to change things. Ask God for a body. Ask Him for something. We are too natural. Kadosh, Kadosh. You reign, you reign, you reign, you reign. You reign, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty, Lord, Lord. In the name of Jesus. This year is over. You cannot be a normal person. I know you have been a Christian for 20 years. You have been a Christian for 15 years. But before this year is over, you cannot be a normal person. Something divine will happen to you. You will become a specimen that a generation will study. Today, anybody who has fire is an apostle. They want to bring him to the altar. In the days of Daniel, prophets were senators. Something will happen to you and it will make you a specimen to your generation. Men will travel to study you. And even when you are long gone from the earth, everything you touched, people will scavenge for it to study it and find out if there is any deposit left on it. Elisha died, and even his bones could raise the dead. The shoes you wear, the clothes you wear, when you die, people will travel, missionaries, to come pick them to find out what was on this man. You cannot be a normal person. The era of nominal Christianity is over. Refuse to be normal. Refuse. Refuse. Christianity is not a story. It's not a religious activity. It's divinity expressed through humanity. In the name of Jesus Christ.
You were blessed by the message you just listened to and wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. If you just say this prayer, please send us an email on amodiscipleship@gmail.com or reach us on our website orocomichael.com to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege to disciple you. God bless you.